Good morning, it's time for the K-State Research and Extension Report, and joining us this morning is Frontier Extension District Crop Production and Farm Management Agent Ryan Schaub. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine. It's been a bit of an interesting week, but, you know, we roll along with it. You've got some stuff about some crop control, and I'm sure everybody's excited to hear it.
Yeah. Today I just wanted to talk to our producers a little bit about butt brush, rough-leaf dogwood, and smooth sumac control. These are three very common brush species that we see actually spread across the whole state of Kansas. It is a native, these are native shrubs, but the issue that we have with them are that they can form clumps out in our pastures and really kind of reduce some of our forage production that we might get in those pastures. And that's an issue because our cattle just don't graze or browse on these shrubs like sheep and goats would. So kind of the order of things today, we're going to work through each one of these species. I'm going to tell you a little bit about them and then some control options, and then we'll round it out. So the first one up is going to be buckbrush. Buckbrush is a shrub that can grow over 6 feet tall and actually spreads by rhizomes and stolons under the ground. If we look at the plant, it has it's a simple leaf structure, has opposite leaves, and it will flower sometime in that June to July time period and then produce little red fruits actually later on in the summer. Typically, we find a buckbrush in some disturbed woodlands, maybe along creek banks, and, of course, out in the middle of our pastures. Now, they're unlike some of the others we're going to talk about today, there is some mechanical control that we can do for buckbrush. We can remove the top of those plants. So just think about like mowing those plants off after they've fully leafed out. Now, one mowing probably not going to do it. But if we do this two or three times in a year, we can really wear out that root system. That's basically what we're trying to do. These plants are going to be using all the carbohydrates that they have in their root system to leaf out. And if we can mow them off about the time that they are fully leafed out, we're just going to eventually wear those root systems out. Prescribed burning is another way to do this, but it's going to take two or three years because we can only get a fire to carry through that grass one time a year. So it's going to take us a little bit longer to use fire to get good control of that buckbrush. But it can still be done. There are some herbicides that can be used on buckbrush as well. 2,4-D low vol ester is a product that is safe on our grasses and provides us pretty good control of the buckbrush. The issue is a lot of people want to wait too long to spray their buckbrush. A lot of our brush species, we say like the middle of June is a great time to spray, but buckbrush is slightly different. Buckbrush is a shrub that's going to need to be sprayed probably mid-May to get effective control with a herbicide. The issue is with buckbrush, as it matures, it forms a waxy leaf and it doesn't allow then that herbicide to get through and actually control the plant. So we would have to get out there in mid-May and get those sprayed. Another product that can provide pretty good control is chaparral, but chaparral has a little bit, I mean, we got to be careful there because if we are in a fescue pasture, chaparral can actually suppress or stunt that fescue. So we want to be careful with that if we have a fescue pasture. Rough leaf dogwood is the next one we'll talk about. It is a shrub that can grow 15 feet in height. And again, it's a very simple leaf structured, opposite leaves. The thing about rough leaf dogwood, if we actually pulled off a leaf and felt the upper surface, it's got a rough texture to it, and that's why, hence the name rough leaf dogwood. Typically, we start to see clusters of white flowers appear in late May to early June. I will tell you, we have already started to see some rough leaf dogwood flowering this year. So while I give you a general timeline, just know that weather can affect that and push it either a little forward or maybe keep it from blooming quite as early. So those are just general timelines. It's not going to happen every year that way, but will start to usually flower in late May, early June, and then produce little white fruits there in the September to October time period. Roughleaf dogwood, we can typically find it in fence rows, along some edges of some woodlands, and along streams, and then, of course, out in the open prairie. Now, if we're finding roughleaf dogwood out in the middle of our grasslands, especially in a native grassland, that tells us that it's probably lacking fire in its ecosystem. There was a research study done at Konza Prairie outside of Manhattan, and it indicated that roughleaf dogwood drastically increases on grazed or ungrazed watersheds if it's only burned one out of every 4 years. A lot of the Flint Hills is typically burned, if not annually, on a semi-annual basis, or at least once every 2 years kind of rotation. So if we've got roughleaf dogwood popping up, it probably tells us in a native grass piece that we need to be using fire a little bit more frequently. Now, if you've got roughleaf dogwood, just know that it's going to be a challenge to get rid of it, because a good established clump of roughleaf dogwood can be quite difficult to get rid of, even though we do have herbicides that are labeled for it. We can use, you know, Remedy Ultra, Banvil, we could use Pasture Guard or Surmount. That's not even listing our two restricted herbicides of Tordon 22K and Grazon P plus D. So we got a whole list of herbicides we can use, but the problem is a lot of times we just defoliate those plants and they truly don't get killed. So know that if you've got a big clump of roughleaf dogwood, this is going to be a multi-year deal. We're going to spray these plants, and the idea is just gradually thin them down until they're all gone. The last one we're going to talk about today is smooth sumac. Smooth sumac can grow to a height of about 5 to 7 feet, and it produces an open Milo-like seed head in early June. Now, these leaves, if we looked at them, they're a little bit different than the others, too, that were at a simple leaf structure. These are called Pinnately compound leaves, so we'd have to look that up, but basically it's got a lot of leaflets that make up one leaf. The easiest way to identify smooth sumac is actually going to be in the fall when everything else is going dormant. Those leaves will turn a bright red, so it's an easy way to identify that and at least mark that in your pastures. If you find it, just, hey, I got smooth sumac, maybe I need to control next year. It grows best on our rocky soils and pastures, and again along fence rows. Notice that about all of these shrubs here can be found along fence rows. That's due to the fact that our birds will go and try to eat the little fruits they produce, and then they'll drop them as they perch on those fences, and then we get these shrubs started. So if we're going to try to control smooth sumac, it can be done very easily with the use of a herbicide. This plant could be sprayed like middle to late June, and 2,4-D has been very effective in controlling smooth sumac. So I guess the thing that your take-homes today would be 2,4-D, really good on buckbrush and smooth sumac. You got to spray them at two different times of the year, buckbrush in mid-May, smooth sumac in mid-June. But then if we have roughleaf dogwood, just know it's going to be more of a challenge to get rid of, and just know that it didn't get real bad overnight, and it's not going to get real good overnight either. So with that, if you guys have questions, please feel free to give me a call at the office at 785-448-6826.
Very important and very pesky bits of shrubbery there. Coming up Monday morning at 6:40, Frontier Extension District Family and Consumer Sciences Agent specializing in nutrition, food safety, and health, Chelsea Richmond.